Welcome to another edition of The Power of Words with me, your host, Kevin Treasure, author of The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Our aim is to help people win in life through the power of their words. You are born to win.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality with me, your host, Pastor Kevin Treasure, aka The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. And wherever you are, wherever this podcast is finding you, I hope you are blessed. And I just want to encourage you to listen. God has a plan for your life. You weren't born by happenstance or a mistake. You were born for a purpose. And I'm a person that likes to encourage people in developing and finding and walking in their purpose. You wasn't here by accident, amen. And you will fulfill God's plan for your life. You will fulfill your divine destiny. You will do everything that God has created you to do, whether it be in the arts, whether it be in entertainment, whether it be in sports, whether it be in literature, whether it be in ministry, wherever, government, wherever God has called you to succeed. Not only will you succeed, but you will go to the top and you will reign and rule in life as kings, because God is on your side. And today I just want to encourage someone about a few points from my new book called The Joshua and Caleb Mindset. We need the right mindset to win in life. I'm going to say that again. You need the right mindset to win in life. There are so many people, because of what we see on the TV, what we see in the media, social media, the news and the papers, we've got to be careful what we take into our spirit. We've got to be careful what we receive. You've got to really guard your eyes and guard your ear gate, guard your eye gate. You've got to be careful what you let enter in, because the world only has negativity to offer us. So we've got to be careful and be selective about what we let in, amen, to our spirit, what we let in into our lives, amen. You've got to have the right mindset. So you've got to be with the right people. If your friends are negative and all they do is talk about the depressing things and how much money they don't have and what they wish they could have, and no, you got to start changing your friends, or you be the catalyst that makes the change in the people around you. And maybe it's the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. He was different from anyone else. And the title of my new book is called The Joshua and Caleb Mindset: Journey to Success, Business Lessons from the Israelites. We need lessons, amen. And we need some business lessons from the Israelites. So I just give on unto the Holy Spirit of God, about whom I can do nothing. And I just want to encourage you, take a little preface and let you know some pointers about the book. So if you're interested in business, you're interested in succeeding, if you're an entrepreneur, you know God has called you to be an entrepreneur. God has called you to be a blessing. You know that God has called you to be the head and not the tail. And you may have be thinking about starting a business, or you may even have a business or a several business, and he's saying, I want to go to the next level. I know that there's more. Don't just plateau. Don't just start a business and plateau and say, okay, well, I'm fine where I am. No, you can always do more. You were born for more. I'm not saying be greedy, but I'm saying look at where you are. Look at the services that you're offering, what you have to give, and what more you know you can do, or where you can monopolize on what you have, and where you can monopolize, and where you can give more value to others. Because business is about giving value to your customers. So I'm just going to really just let you know about the story of Joshua and Caleb, and where they come, and give you something. I'm going to give you the backstory about these two men. I'll give you the backstory. You know, like Star Wars, when they go in the backstory. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I do like this, the way that they've done that backstory that led up to what we now know as Star Wars. I love the backstory. So everything's got a backstory, and the backstory makes more sense to when it says, oh, okay, I get it now. So who are Caleb and Joshua? Let me give you a preface. The Lord said unto Moses, I'm going to read a bit from my book and then I'm just going to give you some. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob, towards Lebo, Hamath. They went up through the Negev, and they came to Hebron, from where Ahamina, Shashaya, and Talamiah, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on one pole between them, along them with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes that the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole community and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land at once, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we cannot attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites an evil report, the Lord called it. Listen to what the Lord called it. He called it an evil report. When you don't believe God, he calls it evil. About the land that they explored. They said, the land that we explored devours those living in it. And the people we saw there are of great size. We saw Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. Those are giants. And we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. That was taken from Numbers 13, 1 to 3. And 21 to 31, if you want to go and do your research. Everyone in business has a desire to be successful. Everyone. If you're in business, you've got a desire to be successful. Whether you climb the corporate mountain, media mountain, government mountain, ministry mountain, there are some mountains you're going to have to conquer and take by force. In the story of the great leader, as we know Moses, we see him go against the great army, the nation of Egypt. Amen. With just him and his rod and the living God. After receiving the promise of a better land, he defeated the Egyptian oppressors, led the Israelite slaves out of Egypt, through the Red Sea. But before they could enter into the land that they had been promised, Moses decided to send 12 spies to provide a report of the land. It was a reconnaissance mission to view out what had been promised to be theirs. I need to reiterate that God had already told them he had given them the land. But although he had given them the land, they still had to fight. And you may have a great business, but you may still have to fight. Your idea, your business model may be foolproof, but you'll still be expected to put in the work to achieve success. God didn't promise easy sailing, but you will get to your destination. The 12 spies searched out the land for 40 days and came back to Moses and the people with a report. They all agreed that what God said about the land was true. It was most definitely flowing with milk and honey. The land was lush, and such was the abundance of the fruits that they had to carry a cluster of grapes on a pole between two. However, this is where it gets interesting. 10 of the spies brought back a negative report. They reported that the land would be impossible to conquer, as they were giants in the land, and they commented that they felt like grasshoppers in comparison with the inhabitants. However, 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, disagreed with the popular consensus and urged the people, we must go up immediately and take what belongs to us. We are well able to conquer them. This created a division among the people. And so great was this negative influence of the 10 men, it caused the whole congregation to murmur and complain all night about where they were and the circumstance and the predicament that they were in. You've got to be careful who you listen to when you're about to do great things. Let me just put that in there. You've got to be careful who you listen to when you're about to accomplish greatness. I'm going to say that again. Be careful who you listen to when you're about to accomplish great things. The Bible says it caused the whole congregation to murmur and complain all night. They protested to the leadership and they believed that God had brought them out of Egypt to kill them and their children, which was quite the opposite. God's intentions were for their good. Always remember, God has a good plan for you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. They became so dejected that they threatened to get a new leader to bring them back to Egypt, the place of slavery. They complained against Moses and God, and the results were catastrophic. God told them that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years, one year for each day that they had spied out the land, until they all eventually died. This is what they declared, this is what they believed, and this is what they received. God's only exception was that the children under 20 years old would see what God had promised. A nation of people that received the promise of a better life, but for only 2 people from that generation would eventually see that good land. And those 2 people were Joshua and Caleb. the two that believed it could be done. Now, there's some powerful lessons to be learned from this story, which could prove useful if you are in business. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're starting a business, if you're contemplating making a leap into business ownership, God had given the Israelites the advantage. They knew exactly where the territory was located. They just needed to go and take possession of it. However, they exhibited fear of the unknown. You've got to be careful of fear. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Fear will stop you from succeeding and fulfilling your dreams and your passions and desire. Fear will cripple you and disable you and stop you from moving forward. The children of Israel's fear of change and their preoccupation with perceived negative challenges prevented them from seizing new opportunities that are ultimately aligned with God's best for His people. Avoiding opportunities out of fear often results in missed chances to achieve success, as sadly demonstrated by the nation of Israel. The Israelites failed to form a clear vision of where they wanted to be and believe God for what He had promised them. This led them down an unfortunate path of disbelief and discouragement. Their resistance to change prevented them fulfilling God's promise. Ultimately, they forgot who would help them take possession of the land which had been promised. The Israelites' fear of the unknown and their focus on the giants prevented them from embracing new opportunities. The refusal of the children of Israel to enter the promised land offers several business lessons that can be applied to any company, business, or organization. So let's delve into the pitfalls and successes, the do's and the don'ts of business through the eyes of the Israelites for the conquest of the promised land. I'm just going to touch base on, we've already got 11 minutes in, so I'm just going to touch base on just a few of them. Listen, when undertaking any new business venture, it is wise to carry out thorough research. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." Numbers 13, 1 to 2. Whenever you're going to undertake any new business venture, it is wise to carry out thorough research. He sent them to research the land, reconnaissance, search out what are the competitors doing, what are they offering, how much is their product, how good is their product, are people buying it, what is the buying power of your competitors. Do your research. Don't just go into business blindly. You've got a great product, you've got a great business idea, yeah, great, but find out who's there, whose business is like yours, and how similar is it to yours, and what do you need to change. Always carry out thorough research if you're doing business. I'm going to say it again. Always carry out thorough research. Don't just jump into the water like that. Make sure you do your research. There's something called a business plan. Amen. So make sure you carry out a great business plan. Research helps you to gain an understanding of the legal requirements associated with starting, operating a business, such as registering your entity, securing appropriate licenses and permits, complying with taxation and regulations, requirements and laws. Conducting thorough research increases the chances of success while decreasing the risk of failure. I'm going to say that again. Conducting thorough research increases the chances of success while decreasing the risk of failure, ultimately making your enterprise more profitable over time. You hear me? Number two, and the last one, I'm just going to end the last one and do some more another time. Always find out the best way to accomplish your mission. I'm going to say it again. Always find out the best way to accomplish your mission. When Moses sent them to explore the land of Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live them are strong or weak or few or many." Numbers 13, 17 to 18. Accomplishing your mission requires a combination of planning, execution, and adaptability. Here's some keys for you can take to best accomplish your mission. Always define your mission statement. Your mission statement should be clearly articulate your goals, your values, and your vision. So always define your mission statement. It should be specific, measurable, and achievable, and relevant. Okay, so always set about your mission statement. You also need to develop a strategic plan. A strategic plan helps you to outline the steps that you need to take to achieve your mission. It should identify your target market, your competitors, and your resources. Remember to regularly evaluate your process and adjust your plan when needed. This involves identifying areas for improvement, refining your strategies and making necessary changes to achieve your mission. I want to encourage you, if you've got a business idea, if you're an entrepreneur, you can make it and you will win in life. You've been listening to me, Kevin Treasure, The Winner's Mentality, helping you win with your words. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning to The Power of Words, The Winner's Mentality. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Check out our website, kevintreasure.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are born to win.